Today on Real Radio.
Do you believe God at his word, who says, I would have come and been born through Mary, did the same thing you read about me in the Gospels, if I were only going to save you?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. Luke chapter 15 contains three pretty well-known parables, one in particular. Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son, or more commonly known as the prodigal son. Today, Pastor Jack examines the first of these, the parable of the lost sheep. Lots of cultural undertones in this one, so pay real close attention. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with the parable of the lost sheep.
Even when it was their day, they just walked right on in. Sheep never leave. Listen, they never run away. They never run away. I want you to mark that. Sheep never run away. They'll wander away. It's a big difference. You know a goat will run away. Did you know that? You know a sheep will never run away. Now, a sheep could be scared and then run, a lightning clap or something like that. They can run that way. But a sheep with a shepherd in the fold, in the flock, will never just run away. They won't do it. How about this? A sheep is never, no one ever expects anything smart to come out of sheep. Sheep are not smart. They have no defense mechanisms or no defense attributes. Did you know that? Teeth, sheep don't have fangs. You don't see a sheep with fangs. They don't have a bite. Oh my gosh, I got bit by this lamb. You ever heard that? What brought you to this hospital? I got attacked by a lamb. Not gonna happen. They have no claws. They're sheep. And the Old and New Testament alike refers to us humans as sheep. Listen to this. Did you know that a lamb, oh, in fact, this is cool. Mark this down. This guy, this ought to freak somebody out here tonight. There's a scientist I read about years ago. It was written in one of the books by Richard Wurmbrand. When he was in Russia, he was speaking to a scientist, and the scientist asked this question in the gathering of the Supreme Soviet at the Academy of Science. Are you ready for it? The scientist, who was a communist, said, as we propagate evolution, I have a problem. And they said, what's your problem? And he said, with all my research, my background is in this particular area, and in this area, I have to consider sheep. And he said, for the life of me, I've worked it all out. I know everything about these guys, and I have a problem. And the problem is this. We talk about the evolutionary process. The only problem is sheep cannot survive or live without human beings. And according to our timeline, we've got sheep long before human beings ever being here. He said, so I can't reconcile that. Within 24 hours, that man was arrested and sent to a prison in Siberia where he met up with Richard Wurmbrand, a famous Christian pastor. I want you to think about that for a moment. Sheep need constant human care and protection. They have to be watched over. Did you know that a sheep has to be sheared? And if it doesn't, it'll die? Did you know that it can get so plump with wool that when it lays down, the dew from the night can cause that sheep to not be able to get up, and it's completely now absolutely vulnerable to the elements or to wild animals. Did you know that a sheep have to be massaged and taken care of in the head, in the forehead of the sheep, because of ticks and parasites that try to wiggle its way into the sheep's head, and if it gets its larvae laid in there, it causes an infection and it'll get into the bloodstream, or it will cause the sheep to go insane. Has to have the shepherd's anointing oil put on the head to to keep the flies and the insects from laying larvae to affect its brain. Listen, sheep, people, without a shepherd taking care of them, go nuts. No, come on, really? Look, none of us do very well on our own, let's be honest. We don't do very well on our own. And the proof of it is, when you see, listen, remember before you were a Christian? Oh man, I can't wait, tomorrow's Friday. What are you doing? We're party, man. Party, yeah. Look, we worked hard all week when we were non-Christians. We worked hard all week and then partied in the weekend and couldn't wait for Monday to come around, so we're safe within the walls of some business or something until we're loose again on Friday. So what are you talking about? Oh, things like hangovers and drug-induced comas and we don't do well on our own as sheep without a shepherd. We have a tendency to wander off. And Jesus calls us sheep. Isn't that comforting?
Yes.
What do you expect from sheep? What do you expect? You expect the sheep to defend you out on the open prairie there? If a wolf attacks you, is a sheep going to, that's our shepherd. You stop dealing. You, no, ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 through 6 tells us that, but he was wounded, speaking about Christ, the prophetic announcement of Jesus Christ to come. Isaiah 53, 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. Listen, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like, what?
Sheep
have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity or sin of us all. By the way, there's that statement again. Sheep do not run away. We wander away. Maybe you're a Christian tonight, but you've wandered away from him. It doesn't have to be something outwardly obvious. You could be doing all of your religious stuff, but your heart's not in what you're doing. Were you in worship? Did you come to worship tonight? Did you worship or did you tweet your friends and Facebook a buddy and Instagram this and the group is singing, but we're just all, what? I don't know. You aren't worshiping. Or were we worshiping and we're going, oh, that's a nice dress. Or that's a nice shirt he's got. What are we doing? We could slip away really easy. Our hearts could wander in a moment. We don't do well on our own. We need a shepherd. He tends to us. He loves us. He takes care of us. He anoints our head with oil. He's very good to us. We are God's concern also. Verse 4 teaches us, look at it, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness? Listen, this teaches me that his concern for us is unquestionable. Jesus, God in flesh, is announcing to us 2,000 years later through the Bible, and he announced it to them in person. Listen, it's unquestionable God's commitment and concern for us. Jesus, in his own words, is saying, hey, one sinner, one lost lamb of God's, is worth the 99 parking and waiting, and he goes and gets the one. That's you, that's me. Well, I'm the 1%. He loves you. He'll tell the 99, wait, sit right there, I'll be right back. Now, in reality, they have incredible sheepdogs. Stay right there, you take care of these sheep, I'll be right back. And he's gonna go hunt down the one that's lost. Awesome. Listen, his concern for us is unquestionable. My dear friend, God's concern for you, we do question in our moments of lapse of faith. We question God like this. Why? We all do this. It's sin. Or like this. If I were God, I would, ooh, what am I saying? I know better. I've been around 55 and a half years. I know better. God says, I've been around before time has ever been created. I think I know better. Think about that for a moment. See, when we begin to counsel God, what are we saying? I think I know how this ought to go, God. No, you know what? Please get this into your heart and never let it go. His concern for you and the situations of your life are unquestionable. He's absolutely concerned about you and for you. His love for you will not settle for anything less. His heart makes a demand upon his actions, and he moves to your concern. What evidence do you have? He's the shepherd, and we are the sheep. That's what he does. Well, what if he stops doing it? He can't. Did you know that? What if he changes his mind? It's impossible. How do you know? Because he's God. He said he wouldn't. And he's not. He doesn't like love us on Monday and not so much, I don't know, Tuesday. He's God. Never changes. In Philippians 2, verse 8, listen. Philippians 2, 8. I want to remind you, it says, and being found in the appearance as a man. Do you understand that? That's an awesome statement. Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus? Listen, Jesus was God come to earth, as I said a moment ago. He's the one making these promises. He's the one telling us that he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. He's the one that came and was found in the appearance of man. Do you understand? That statement's amazing. Because for you and I to be found in the appearance of man is nothing. Why? Because we were born this and we will die this. That word means he was not this and became this. That's cool. I love it. He goes on. Philippians 2, 8. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now watch. His concern for us is unquestionable, but here's what I'm saying to that verse. Now hear me out. Don't panic. He became obedient even to the death of the cross? This makes no sense to me in the human setting. In the human setting alone, it makes no sense. Why would God die for sheep, for us? It makes no sense. What's more important, sheep or the shepherd? The shepherd. You can always get sheep. Shepherd, in God's economy, it makes perfect sense to him. His commitment to you is so unquestionable that you would say, if you were a shepherd of some sheep in the plains of Utah or Colorado or Idaho or England, you would say, let me figure this out. We've got 100 sheep here and a shepherd. We got this situation going on. Well, we'll just take the life of the shepherd. Nobody would ever even think that thought. But God says, well, you know what? Here's the thing. They're lost. Church, listen. I'm setting you up for something here. You ready? He already told us they're lost. Someone's lost. Jesus doesn't say, look, I'm going to leave the one and go after the 99 lost ones. That makes more sense to me. Does it make more sense to you? Don't tell me it doesn't, because do you ever feel like this? I'm sure God wants to save those people over there, but not me. You ever feel like that? I'm sure God wants to heal them or bless her or, you know, give him a job, but not me. We do this to ourselves. And God doesn't think like us. Our love, sad to say, is conditional, unless it's the love of God emanating out from our lives. When I look at you as someone anything other or less than the way God looks at you, then my acceptance or rejection of you is based purely on carnal measures. You understand that? God's not like us. If I'm loving you the way God loves you, then I will accept you as is. Right? And that's the key in a relationship, by the way. Well, I used to love my wife. Well, why don't you repent? But have you seen her lately? Have you seen yourself lately? Look. Well, I've been working out. That's not what I'm talking about. Your heart looks like a lump of coal, you know? Your spirit is corrupt. It's the heart issue. That's what needs to be fixed. These commercials on TV make me sick. In fact, I'm just about ready to throw my TV away. I just for the satisfaction of, I want to send a letter to all the commercial people to let them know, I threw my TV away. I'm not watching your commercials. I feel good. But have you noticed, listen, try to find a commercial or a show on TV that it shows the family intact and happy and doing great. The Ozzy and Harriet moment, you know? They mock all the stuff that works. In this ludicrous, insane world that we live in of New York and Hollywood, in Sacramento and Washington, they've got this social experiment in their head that they want to play with, as long as they play with you. It's not reality. And when you see stuff on TV and commercials and stuff, we are a nation without a shepherd. Because you've got every man in every commercial or program is basically an idiot, and he wouldn't even know how to buy a Goodyear tire without his wife's input. Now the children are usurping authority in the commercials over mom and dad. And if you do see some form of romance going on, it's some 60-year-old guy with a 30-year-old girl. I don't know about you, but if I was all you girls, I'd be really upset about that. Have you noticed that? And it's all rigged to get money. And it sends a message, because there's some old dope, 60-year-old, okay, maybe someone's going to say, today's my birthday and I'm 60, you ripped me off. Okay, a 55 and a half-year-old, what with the, turn in the channel and sees a commercial like that and thinks, maybe I should turn my wife in and get a 30-year-old version. This is happening every day. Why? Because we are like sheep without a shepherd. We don't do well on our own. And Jesus is telling us, listen, I'm the shepherd. And this is a shock. It doesn't make sense in my economy. I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. Wait, you are not only a shepherd, you are the shepherd. Oh, yes, I know. Listen, listen to this. This is, you have to remind me next time we get into this because I'll forget. Because I'm 55 and a half. I'm going to forget. Listen, what is veiled in the theology of what Jesus is saying, it's missed most often. Jesus is announcing, I've come to save the lost. And so much so, the parable I'm laying out before you guys, Jesus would say then, back then 2,000 years ago, and the Holy Spirit is saying to us tonight, I want you to get it down so much that my concern for you is so unquestionable that I, listen, this is pure theology. It can never change. I will lay down my life to the death as God Almighty for one lamb, one sheep. You see, our human economy, if there's enough people in this bucket, then maybe it will tip the scale over and, okay, I can justify the death of the shepherd. The death of the shepherd saved 100 billion people. That makes more sense to us, right? Never did that ever enter the mind of God. Ever. It's impossible. Because biblical theology is God will die for one sinner. This is a miracle. That's you. Do you have a name? Can you hear me? That's you. Now watch. Watch how we're confronted now immediately with our faith being challenged. Do you believe God at his word, who says, I would have come and been born through Mary, did the same thing you read about me in the Gospels, if I were only going to save you? You and I say, no way. Why? Because you're too familiar with you through a lens that is broken. Your lens is broken. Sin broke the lens, and you do not, some of you tonight are being reminded that you've been created in the image of God. We are so fallen as his creation that we have glasses on, you guys, but they're Coke bottle thick and cracked. And we're like this, groping in the night, as it were. And God says, hey, I have left everything to find you. And you will either say tonight, no way. Or you'll say, me? You know what's great about grandkids? You buy them stuff. They don't say, well, gosh, how much was that? Isn't it awesome? Now, when you're raising your kids, you want your kids to say, Dad, how much was that? A whole month's wages. I mean, I sacrificed so much for you. Gee whiz. Come on. I mean, your father here. That's what you do to your kids. But when they're grandkids, prices, it's irrelevant. Papa, can I have that gold-plated Mickey Mouse hat? You want to? Right? Why? It's just different. And God looks at us and he just, his love for us, it's absolutely unquestionable. And you and I have to, this is the thing for us. This is our valley of decision. Will we believe him or will we not believe him? See, the Pharisees couldn't handle that. The Pharisees represented, okay, if you're going to get to heaven, you got to imagine, put on your track shoes, get ready to run, and we'll put you through a triathlon here, and we'll take the first top five guys, then you qualify for the next thing. It's all about what you can do. And Jesus comes along and says, it's not anything about what you can do. It's all about what I've done. And that's why a child is more prone to accept the gospel than a calloused heart adult. We become cynical, critical, judgmental of even God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Lost Sheep. The Parable of the Lost Sheep is actually a multi-part mini-series from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember to visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Of course, you'll be able to watch recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's one of our weekly television programs. But you can also subscribe to Real Life Devotions. They'll be sent right to your email each Monday, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We keep getting more and more subscribers to Real Life Devotions, and a lot of folks are writing in and letting us know what they think. Here's what one subscriber to Real Life Devotions wrote. Pastor Jack, talk about God's timing. I had a very tough day. I cried, dealt with issues at work, had to leave early for an appointment, so I arrived in the waiting room and looked at my emails and just immediately thanked the Lord. I needed to hear what you had to say in your Real Life Devotions. Through the storms, God is there. Thank you. Well, thanks to you. Again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the button that says simply Devotions. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.